Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, and dear retreatants, we read in today's gospel that two men went up to the temple to do a very good thing, to pray. Prayer is good. Prayer is necessary. As a matter of fact, prayer is absolutely necessary for salvation. So they both seemed to go up to do a very good thing. They went up to pray. It wasn't at a local synagogue. This was at the temple. The one and only place where sacrifices could be officially offered. The spiritual focal point for the chosen people, their most sacred place on earth, because the Ark of the Covenant was kept in the Holy of Holies, and that was sequestered from everyone. Even the high priest could only go in once a year, but they could be, well, there was the priest's court, there was the court of the Israelites outside that, there was the court of the women, then there's the court of the Gentiles. So depending on your status, you would go to your appropriate court in which to pray. And it seems like both of them went up at a time for their own private prayer. So it wasn't the official time of sacrifice. And that was done morning and afternoon, or morning and evening. It was the official liturgy was being offered. But these two men went up to do a very good thing. It seems like it was a time of private devotion for both of them. However, for one of them, the prayer was bad. And for the other, it was good. One went home justified. The other one went home further away from God, more displeasing to God than when he first went up. And to human eyes, it would seem that the Pharisee was saying the good prayer. And it was the publican, that terrible publican, who was saying the bad prayer. And yet the reality is, the Pharisee made the bad prayer. And it was the publican who made the good prayer. I want to tell you just a little bit more about Pharisees and publicans. This is from a scriptural commentary. The Pharisees are said to have derived their name from the Hebrew word separated, because they were supposed to be separated from the rest of men by their eminent degree of sanctity and great learning. They possessed great influence with the people, included in their body many distinguished men with not a few illustrious women, and were formidable even to their rulers because of the tumults which they often excited in the state. Puffed up with their reputation for sanctity, for minute attention to ceremonial observances, and for knowledge of the law, they held others in contempt. And together with the scribes, they were the constant and determined enemies of our Lord. They did teach good things, but they also were, I guess you could say, bad teachers in this sense, that they put human traditions on the same level as God's divine law. And we know that no human law is equal to divine law. That always takes precedence. They perverted the sense of the law in important points. While interpreting the law most rigidly, they neglected the spirit in which it should be fulfilled. And although they forbade works which were permitted on the Sabbath, they did not pay attention to interior purity of heart. So the problem there was that so often their observance of religion was an external thing, an exterior thing, and the true conversion of heart was missing so often. The publicans were, there was different kinds. There was the kind that were rich capitalists or companies of capitalists who farmed the revenues of the state for a certain sum to be paid into the public treasury. And the publicans of the second class were agents or underlings of the publicans proper and were generally natives of the place where they were stationed. It was their duty to examine the goods imported or exported, assess the value of these, and enforce payment of the tax. The injustice of both the first and second class publicans was proverbial. They were detested in every place, but especially in Palestine, where many were of the opinion that the chosen people of God could not conscientiously pay tribute to the Romans. The office of tax gatherer, therefore, was generally held by pagans, and if a Jew entered into the service, he was regarded as the willing slave of a foreign tyrant, was shunned as a spy or informer, and basically was often just excluded. So, do we know if this was a pagan or one of the Jewish people that had become a pariah to their fellow Jews? We don't know. But we do know, again, a Pharisee and a publican. That's what we had there. And our Lord makes it clear that the prayer of the publican turned out to be a bad prayer, and he was pushed away from God, and he was in a worse condition than before. And why is that? Because he allowed pride to enter his prayer. That's how abominable pride is to God. It's always going to be listed as the first capital sin. It's at the root of all other sins. And we have to work really hard to combat pride, not only in our daily actions, but even in our prayer. Pride can creep its way in, and God will always push it away if it has that component. God resists the proud and gives his grace to the humble. We know this from Holy Scripture. So where we see the real exemplification of the pride is the publican, or rather the Pharisee, made it a point to single out the publican. Now, since this was the temple, there were probably hundreds of people around. I mean, there was many, many, many people going up at all hours of the day to the temple, either for the official worship or to come close to God and make a visit, so to speak. But for whatever reason, he singled out that man, and then he began to compare himself. And that's how he fell into pride. I thank you, God, that I'm not like that sinner over there. It's always better if we compare ourselves to God rather than to our fellow man. If we do it with our fellow man, there's always going to be somebody better than us, somebody worse than us. But if we compare ourselves to God, we realize how little, how nothing we are, how our sins have made us even less than a nothing, if you could put it that way. And this is why the saints could say with such deep conviction that they were the greatest sinners. To other people, they seemed to be so great. and so holy and so good, but they weren't comparing themselves to others. They were comparing themselves and realizing how lacking, how deficient they were in comparison to Almighty God. And yes, they had all sinned. And by the way, this reminds us of the humility of Our Lady. She who never committed any sin or fault is nevertheless more humble than everybody else because she recognized her relationship with God. She was not a sinner in any way, but she realized that she was, that everything she had that was good had come from God. So as we pray, and we go up to the temple to pray, at least every Sunday, we're commanded to the church. But hopefully we're going frequently during the week for Holy Mass to make a visit. We have to really make sure that our prayer has that component of humility and not of pride. It is possible, just like we saw for the Pharisee and publican, one went away better, the other went away worse. That can happen to us too. I would say it happens every single time. We're either better or for worse in how we have prayed. We want to go home justified as the publican was. And in no way is this an excuse for sin. That I mean, he had sin, he had to overcome it. That was making him repellent to God, but he had that humility. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He was repenting. He wasn't making peace with his sin. That is an abomination to God. This publican was trying to go in the right direction, and that's what made it pleasing to God. When it comes to practicing pride, again, practice humility. When it comes to resisting pride, we need to pray for humility. Oh God, and just say the words of the publican, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And by the way, we do this twice in the Mass during the Confiteor. Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. That is an act of humility, so important, so helpful in helping us to overcome pride. Outside of church, of course, in our interactions with human beings, it can happen where somebody may put us down. Try to accept that. It's an opportunity to practice humility. And if somebody praises us, be like our Blessed Mother. What did she say when her cousin Elizabeth praised her most highly? Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed art thou among women. You're the greatest among women, is what she's saying. How did Our Lady handle that praise that was being given to her? My soul doth magnify the Lord. So if we're praised, turn that into an act of humility as well by giving the glory to God, thanking God. So two men went up to pray. One prayer was a good one. The other prayer was a bad one. This is an image for all of us. We go up, as I said, to the temple, to the church, which is far greater than even the temple, because Almighty God dwells here himself physically all the time. Let it be that we always went home justified because our prayer always incorporated that all-important element of humility. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.